Jagadish arrivò. Hare Krishna. So today we will discuss the second half of the 10th canto in brief. This must be the longest overview. We will be having 40 chapters. Even the biggest cantos like 3rd canto and 4th canto had 30, 31, 33 chapters. But this is quite long. So because it's all storyline only, we will not go into details as usual. We'll just see the flow, how contents are flowing. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, from the 50th chapter onwards, the 10th canto is considered the second half. Now we will begin the second half. He said in the first verse commentary, he would write, we will begin the second half of the canto, because that is the transition where Krishna is shifting from Mathura to Dwarka. So, once in the 50th chapter, Jarasandha came to attack, or Krishna killed Kamsa, and then later he went to take education from Sandipani Muni. Okay, they were discussed in from 44, 45th chapter till 50th chapter, how he retrieved the son of Sandipani Muni, etc. Then, Kamsa's wives, Asti and Prapti, they went and gave a complaint to Jarasandha. This Krishna and Balram came to Mathura all from Vrindavan, all of a sudden, and they killed her husband. So, Jarasandha attacked Mathura. So, Jarasandha was kind of waiting that this Krishna and Balram were small children at that time. Okay, they let them finish their education. So he was waiting. So when Krishna and Balram came back from their education, Jarasandha came and attacked with a lot of army, I think 23 Akshohinis of army. Then Krishna and Balram started discussing. So Krishna said, what am I supposed to do now? Should I kill Jarasandha? Should I kill all these armies? Or should I kill these armies and then leave Jarasandha? What is the best way? Then finally he decided that let me kill Jarasandha. Let me kill the armies that Jarasandha got and I will leave Jarasandha with life. Then he will bring more armies and then come to me so that I can kill them. So like this, this happened 17 times. So that is the end of the 50th chapter. Then 18th time, when Jarasandha wanted to attack Krishna, so he was about to prepare for his 18th attack. At the same time, there is one Yavana king. His name is Kala Yavana. So he also wanted to attack Krishna with 3 million soldiers. Actually, Kala Yavana wanted to find a proper person who can fight with him. He's seeing for a proper combat who can fight with him. So when he was searching, he's not finding anywhere. No one is a right match for me. Then Narada Muni came and described Krishna's form. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful. He's blackish. He wears lotus garlands that he described. So he's the right person who can fight with you. And he is the one who defeated Jarasandha 17 times. So he's the right person to fight. So where does he stay? He stays at Mathura. So he can go and attack. So Kali Yavana came with 3 crore soldiers, 30 million soldiers. So he came there. So Krishna was thinking, one side Kala Yavana was coming, other side Jarasandha was coming. Jarasandha was just about to reach. So what am I supposed to do? So he was thinking like that. So Krishna felt, first I have to protect all my Mathura vasis. So overnight, so he meditated. In the middle of the sea, he created huge city called Dwaraka, right, with the help of Vishwakarma. So the city came up. So all the Dwaraka vasis, Mathura vasis were sleeping in the night. When they got up, they found themselves in the beautiful palaces of Dwaraka. So Sukadeva Goswami gives the long description of Dwaraka city also. So Krishna started running away. he wanted to protect Mathura also. Mathura vasis are shifted to Dwaraka, and he wanted to divert Kalayavana from there. Actually, this Kalayavana had a big history. Once, some Yadus laughed at Gargya. Gargamani had a son, his name is Gargya. So, his brother-in-law was kind of making fun with him. Right? You are like a eunuch, something like that, he was making fun. So, Yadus laughed. So, this Gargya got offended. He said, how can they laugh at me? So, he went and did tapasya for a long time. And Shiva came and asked, what is the benediction you want? He said, I want to be the father of a son who can create terror in the hearts of all Yadus. Right? I want to father that kind of son. He said, okay, fine. Tathastu. So, he went. So, one Yavana king was there. So, his wife, he's unable to impregnate his wife. Right? Somehow, she was not having a child. So, with the permission of that Yavana king, this Gargya went and impregnated his wife. So, their son was Kalayavana. So, that Kalayavana is considered this son of Yavana and also the son of Gargya. So, when Kalayavana was attacking Mathura, I mean, Krishna wanted to keep the benediction of Shiva intact. So, what was the benediction of Shiva? That Gargya's son, Kalayavana, would create some terror or fear in the hearts of Mathuravasis, Yadus. So, although, who can create terror in the hearts of Yadus when Krishna is there? But still, Krishna wanted to respect that benediction. As if they were afraid, they just ran away from Mathura to Dwarka. Then Krishna also started running away. So, Krishna was running away. So, this Kalayavana was chasing him. So, he was almost about to catch him, but he was unable to catch him. So, Krishna, he is not Yashodamai to catch Krishna. After all, he is a demon. So, he was unable to catch. So, Krishna led this fellow to Muchukunda's cave. So, Muchukunda was lying down there, sleeping. So, Muchukunda had a past history. So, he was a king in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. He was the son of King Mandhata. So, he was fighting against the demigods for a long time. So, then demigods found a good commander-in-chief. His name is Kartikeya. So, when they got a good commander on their behalf, who can fight on their behalf, so they asked Muchukunda, now we relieve you from your services, right? Now you can ask what benediction you want. Then Muchukunda said, I am tired for a long time, let me sleep. So, demigods gave them that benediction. And Indra also gave him benediction on the request of Muchukunda only, that Muchukunda asked, if someone disturbs my sleep, as soon as I open my eyes, he would be burned to ashes. So Indra said, okay, fine. So he wanted such a long sleep. So he went inside a cave and slept. So Krishna finally directed Kalayavana into that cave. Then Kalayavana came. He thought Krishna was sleeping. It's totally illogical. How can someone who is running so fast, who was so active, just enter the cave and sleep? Right? But still, because of Krishna's maya, he got bewildered to think that Krishna was only sleeping there. He started kicking that person, Muchukunda. So Muchukunda got up and opened his eyes, and Kalayavana was burned to ashes. Then Krishna came in front of Muchukunda and gave him darshan. So Krishna's beauty, as seen by Muchukunda, was also described very nicely by Sukadeva Goswami. And Muchukunda offers heartfelt prayers. And Krishna says, ask whatever benediction you want. Muchukunda says, I just want the service of your lotus feet. Then Krishna reveals, I asked you, you can ask some benediction, only to prove that my devotees don't want anything material. Okay? And Krishna gave him blessings. So Muchukunda came out of the cave, and he went to the northern side for pilgrimage. I mean, he was sleeping since long time. So when he came out, he found that everyone around, their sizes became small. So he understood that Kali Yuga is approaching very fast. So he said, I will go and do some austerities. So he went towards Badrikashram for pilgrimage. So Krishna came out, Kalayavana is killed, and Krishna killed the other army. So Sukadeva Goswami summarizes Krishna's killing of Kalayavana's army in one verse. He killed 3 crore people. 30 million people Krishna killed, and Sukadeva Goswami, it's as if nothing. He just writes a single verse and then moves ahead. It's not a big deal. for Krishna. So that is the beginning of 52nd chapter. And in this 52nd chapter, we also have one nice, at the beginning of, one more small thing is missing. So after Krishna killed Kalayavana, so he went towards Mathura, then Jarasandha came. So now two people were attacking Mathura. So Krishna took care of Kalayavana and his army. Then Jarasandha was attacking. So Krishna wanted to fulfill the purpose of his name Ranchod, or he wanted to, from this event is the main event which caused Krishna to get the name Ranchod. So he wanted to run away again. So he ran away along with Balram. So ran, and Jarasandha's army was chasing them. So they went into a forest, they climbed a mountain. The mountain is called Paravarsha, something, some Pashravana. What is the?
Where rains always.
Pravarshana mountain. So they went into that mountain. That's like quite tall, I think around 95 kilometers, something like that. 90 miles height. So they went inside. So Jarasandha was unable to find Krishna and Balram. So he thought, let me just burn these people. So he set fire on all the sides of mountain, and he was conveniently thinking, he was confident that Krishna and Balram would die in this forest fire. So, but Krishna and Balram, they were so expert, they jumped off from that 90 miles high mountain and they went to Dwarka. This is the same painting. their hands were touching each other. So now, after that, Sukadeva Goswami moves forward in the story. So Balramji marries Revati. So this story comes in the 9th canto also. So this Revati was the daughter of Kakudmi. So Kakudmi went to Brahma, and then Brahma was hearing the singing performance of Haha and Huhu. And then he was waiting. So then by the time the song performance came, Brahma came out and said, already so many yugas passed. Now there is no matching boy, okay, which can suit your daughter. But I suggest you give your daughter Revati to Balram. So Revati came in front of Balram. Revati was so tall, Satyuga. Balramji was small in comparison to Revati. He's like matching Dwapar Yuga size of human being. So Balramji took his plow and then pulled her right on the shoulder, and she became small so that he can marry. That's how Balramji's marriage happened with Revati. Then Krishna's marriage. This is the beginning of Krishna's marriages. Okay, first marriage. How it happened? Rukmini's marriage arrangements were happening in Vidarbha. So Rukmini did not like that marriage proposal, because Rukmi was forcing Rukmini to marry Shishupal. Right? So Shishupal, Rukmi and all these fellows were kind of disciples of Jarasandha. They are one party. It's there in the 9th canto. 9th canto. There are some Gandharvas who are performing some musical performance in front of Brahmaji. When Kakudmi took Revati to Brahmalok, to find a better, good match for her daughter, then he was engaged in hearing from them.
That time Balram was matched.
Balram was matched. So that time means when the singing performance was over, so many yugas passed here. Oh. At that time, Dwapar Yuga came, Balramji was there.
That's why she was very tall.
So Rukmini did not like this marriage proposal, and she found a Brahmana. She gave a love letter. That was the first love letter ever written, maybe. So she wrote a letter and sent it to Krishna. So he came to Dwarka and saw Krishna. Krishna received that Brahmana very nicely, and then he spoke nicely about the duties of a Brahman. So, and Krishna read the letter of Rukmini. Shrutvan, Gunan, Bhuvana Sundara, Sundaramte, Haratonga Tapam, all those series of verses come. So Rukmini basically was inviting Krishna, you come and kidnap me. She gave a plan also, okay, full plan, how he can come and kidnap. So 53rd chapter. So Krishna go, as soon as he receives this letter, he goes to this Kaundinya city. So where Rukmi, Bhishmaka was there and Rukmini were there. So arrangements for Rukmini's marriage were happening, and Bhishmaka receives all the guests. He receives Krishna and Balram also, and Jarasandha's party also comes there, right? So now Rukmini was in anxiety. The Brahmana has not yet reached. Okay, I had sent the message, but how did it happen? He is not reaching. Oh, did Krishna think that my proposal like this was not appropriate? That I was too bold in writing a letter and writing a kidnap plan also. So did he like it? Did he not like it? So she was in anxiety. So then finally this Brahmana comes and informs Rukmini that Krishna is coming to kidnap you. Don't worry. So Rukmini was very happy. So Bhishmaka receives Krishna and Balram there. And Rukmini goes to this temple of Bhavani to worship. That's a ritual. That's a tradition that the girl which is about to get married, so she would go to Bhavani and then offer some puja. So Krishna comes on his chariot at Bhavani temple and then kidnaps Rukmini, like a lion comes and accepts, you know, like that. So accepts its share, and all the other people were like jackals. All the other kings were like jackals. So while Rukmini was entering this Bhavani temple also, her beauty is described, and all kings, how they were feeling lusty, they were also, that is also described. So Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. So on the way, so many Yadus were also accompanying Krishna, and Jarasandha's party and so many other enemies were attacking Krishna, and all the Yadus defeated them, right? So finally, they could not do much. So Krishna escaped with Rukmini, and Jarasandha gives a, you know, counseling session to Shishupal. Don't worry, I am defeated 17 times. It's all because of karma, because of you know, Supreme Lord's will. So he says all those things. Then Shishupala was disappointed but consoled by Jarasandha. That was taken care. But although all these enemy kings, their anger and envy kind of subsided, Rukmi was unable to take it. How can this fellow come and kidnap my sister in my presence? So he was still following our Krishna. So he was following, and he was about to release his arrows. Krishna breaks his bow. Okay, he took some other weapon, Krishna breaks that. Krishna breaks his chariot. Krishna breaks his chariot driver. Okay, so like that he was unable to fight only. So finally Krishna gives him a nice haircut, right? So actually he was about to kill, and Rukmini comes and prays, please, she is my brother and today is my marriage day. How can you kill my brother? So Krishna gives him a very different hairstyle. And Balramji comes and kind of chastises Krishna. Hey, how can you do this kind of haircut to Shishupal? and Rukmini was a little kind of disappointed at that time. She was looking like that at least. Then Balramji kind of pacified Rukmini by giving transcendental knowledge. So after that, Krishna, Balram, Rukmini and everyone, all the Yadus go to Mathura, Dwaraka, and Krishna marries Rukmini at Dwaraka. Bhojakata. Correct. He doesn't go to Kundina, he stays there only, the place where his shaving happened. So now he has to continue after this one marriage. Sukadeva Goswami has to continue other marriages of Krishna. But because Rukmini episode happened, he is immediately wanted to speak about the son of Rukmini. So this happened much later than the next chapters. So this is the history of Pradyumna. So Rukmini and Krishna had a son. His name was Pradyumna. And one demon named Shambhara, when this Pradyumna was just 10 days old baby, he came and kidnapped this boy and then took him away and threw him in the sea. Then in the sea, there is a big fish that swallowed Pradyumna, and a fisherman caught that fish. And he presented that fish to Shambhara only, the same demon. So Shambhara said, okay, cook it, I will eat. So then it went to the cook. So cook cut the fish, and inside the fish's belly, this Pradyumna was there, small baby. So that baby was given to one lady called Mayavati. So this Mayavati was actually Rati Devi, the consort of Cupid. So somehow she entered into the captivity of Shambhara, waiting for her husband. So her husband Cupid was burned to ashes by Shiva in the previous birth. So now Narada Muni comes and speaks to Mayavati. Oh, this boy, this small boy, Pradyumna, he's actually Cupid only, right? So then Mayavati raises this Pradyumna nicely. Then after he came to a like nice age, then she started showing that conjugal feelings. Then he was confused. You were like my mother only. You only raised me, but now you are showing some other feelings. What's this? Then Mayavati reveals everything. Actually, you were Cupid and I'm Rati. We were consorts permanently. But because of this Shambhara, this happened. She narrates all the history. Then she tells Pradyumna, you should kill this fellow, Shambhara. So then Pradyumna attacks Shambhara and then kills Shambhara. Then Mayavati takes Pradyumna to Dwaraka. So in Dwaraka, Mayavati and Pradyumna enter there. So as soon as all the queens and other people in Dwaraka saw Pradyumna, they felt, hey, he's Krishna or what? some ladies went into conjugal attraction also. But Rukmini, because she is eternal mother of Pradyumna, so she had that motherly affection towards him. Oh, my son was born long time back, and by this time, if he was alive, he would have grown this much, this big. So she was feeling like that. So finally, Narada Muni comes and reveals the whole truth, what all happened. Then Mayavati and Pradyumna stayed at Dwarka. That is the story of Pradyumna. Next, in the 56th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami narrates about the history of Shamantaka Mani. So this Shamantaka jewel, in Dwaraka, there is a person called Satrajit, right? He was a demigod worshipper. He worshipped sun god, and sun god gifted him Shamantaka jewel. This Shamantaka jewel can give, huge quantities of gold every day. So he just wore that Shamantaka jewel and then came inside Dwaraka. And everyone is thinking that sun god came to see Krishna, sun god came to see Krishna. And then they informed Krishna. Krishna said, he is not sun god, this is just our sun god's devotee, Mr. Satrajit. So, actually Satrajit came, he didn't come to see Krishna, he directly went to his house. And started putting the Shamantaka jewel on an altar and started worshipping it and daily taking the gold that it is giving. So, Krishna once suggested Satrajit, this is not supposed to be with one citizen, it is supposed to be with the king. Then Satrajit became proud and said, hey, this is my property, how can you claim like that? Okay, you are eyeing on it. Then Krishna said, Krishna didn't say anything. Then later, Satrajit's brother, Prasenajit, he wears that Shamantaka jewel and then goes for hunting, right, into the forest. There, one lion kills Prasenajit and takes that Shamantaka jewel and then goes into the forest. Then Jambavan, who was living in that forest, he kills that lion and takes that jewel and gives it to a baby, his baby, right? So he was playing with it. Then Satrajit, back to Dwarka, Satrajit went and accused Krishna. You had a desire to take my Shamantaka jewel. Because I didn't give you have stolen it. You have killed my brother Prasenajit. So he kind of accused and spread false rumors about Krishna. And Krishna wanted to prove his innocence, so he came out. He came out searching for that jewel, and then he followed the footprints of the lion, and then he followed the footprints of a bear, that is Jambavan, and started fighting with Jambavan. Right? He was about to take that jewel, and then Jambavan came and, how can you take our jewel? And then they started fighting. Actually, Jambavan had a desire. He expressed that desire to Lord Ram and said, I want to fight with you. Then, no, I cannot fight with you, but I will fulfill your desire later. So Lord Ram gave that benediction. because Jambavan was so strong, he wanted a fight with Ram also. Then that Ram only came in the form of Krishna and started fighting with Jambavan. After 28 days, Jambavan got tired. Then he understood, no one can stand in front of me for 28 seconds also. This young boy, this beautiful boy, he fought with me for 28 days. He must be Lord Ram. So he surrendered. And Krishna also had a desire. I killed Shishupal, I killed, not Shishupal, Kamsa, and Shala, Toshala, Kota, and all these fellows. So they could not give me a proper combat. Kovalya, Pida, they were not proper opponents for me. I also want to satisfy my fighting spirit. So finally, he satisfied it with Jambavan. That is the fulfillment of the desires of devotee and Lord. Right? Desires for fight. So finally, Jambavan, Krishna revealed that form of Ram to Jambavan. And Jambavan offered beautiful prayers. Because of my illusion, I could not recognize you, all that. And along with money, take this Kanyamani also. She is my daughter. That is Jambavan, Jambavati. Then Jambavati's marriage happens. So that is Krishna's second marriage. So Krishna comes to Dwarka. And all the citizens of Dwarka will receive Krishna so nicely. Right? They were joyful upon receiving Krishna. And Krishna gives that Shamantaka jewel to Satrajit. Back to Satrajit. That was returned. Then Satrajit was feeling so bad. Hare, what did I do? I unnecessarily accused Krishna. He was innocent. So he said, okay, let me overcome my offense or whatever by giving my daughter, beautiful daughter Satyabhama, in marriage to Krishna. So he offered Satyabhama. Then Satyabhama was so beautiful and popular at that time, and many kings wanted to marry her. And this Satrajit also promised all those people, so you can marry my daughter, like that. But now finally Satrajit gave daughter to Krishna, and all of them became little disturbed, very much disturbed. One fellow, Satadhanva, he went and killed Satrajit in the night. Actually, Satrajit gave the jewel also to Krishna at the time of giving Satyabhama. But Krishna said, we don't want this. Right, take it back. Then Satadhanva came and killed Satrajit and stole the jewel. And Krishna came to know this. Actually, Krishna was in Hastinapur at that time. After the marriage with Satyabhama, this event was happening. All the Pandavas went to Khandavaprastha, right? Not Khandavaprastha. There is one place. Where is that? Lakshagraha was there. There is Khandavaprastha only. Varanavat, correct. They went to Varanavat and they were burnt. There was a rumor that Pandavas died. Okay, Pandavas were in exile, kind of thing. So there was a rumor that Pandavas died. So Krishna and other, Krishna, Balram and everyone, they went to Hastinapur to take care of the thing. They were also shedding false tears, although they were aware that Pandavas did not die, they were alive still. They were thinking that they went. Then Satyabhama came to Hastinapur. See, my father died, Satadhanva killed. So Krishna came back to Hastinapur. Then he vowed to kill Satadhanva, right? So Satadhanva understood that Krishna is about to kill me. So he went to Kritavarma and Akrura, right? Kritavarma and Akrura actually encouraged Satadhanva to kill Satrajit. So Kritavarma said, I cannot give you shelter. Hey, Krishna, you know, he's Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he vowed to kill you, who am I to protect you? Go. So Kritavarma, Akrura kind of rejected Satadhanva. So Satadhanva kept that Samantaka jewel in the protection of Akrura. And he left. He ran away. Then Krishna started chasing Satadhanva, and he killed Satadhanva, and he was searching for him, searching for the jewel. Where is the jewel? But he didn't find it, because that was with Akrura. Then this chasing Krishna and Balram reached Mithila, somewhere close to Mithila. So there Balramji felt that I will go to Mithila and meet Janaka Maharaj. Right? So Balramji went to Mithila. So Krishna did not get the Samantaka jewel, and then he came to Akrura. And what was Akrura doing? Akrura took the jewel and then ran from Dwarka. He went to Banaras, Kashi. And he started doing some yajna, and then he became yajnapati or dhanapati. and he gave, distributed profuse amount of charities, right? Then Krishna slowly came to know that. Actually, Krishna, again, some rumor spread, right? Because Akrura left, in Dwaraka, there were calamities. Actually, those calamities were, natural calamities were created by Krishna to bring Akrura back, right? So, then there are so many lessons. It's not the time for lessons. So, somehow Krishna came to know that Akrura is doing sacrifices. So, he was called back and Akrura gives that Shamantakam money in front of, he presents it in front of the assembly. And again, Krishna rumors that Krishna again stole that Shamantakam money, that was removed. Actually, why Akrura was involved in this conspiracy is because he took away Krishna and Balramji from Vrindavan. All the gopis were unhappy with his act. So, because of that, although he is a very exalted devotee, he was entrapped in this. The 58th chapter, Krishna marries five princesses, right? So, one, Krishna once went to Pandavas, to Indraprastha. No move, no things are happening. In Varanavat, they were died, right? I mean, apparently. That was then their identity was revealed through the Swayamvar of Draupadi, and then they came back to Indra. They came back to Hastinapur, and Dhritarashtra gives him, you go to Indraprastha, Khandavaprastha, and then live there. Then he goes to Indraprastha. Then Indra creates that building, the whole place called Indraprastha. And Krishna went to Indraprastha and was staying there. Then when Krishna went there, Kunti Maharani offered nice prayers, Yudhishthira Maharaj offered nice prayers. And in this context only, Krishna encouraged Arjuna, right? Both of them went, and Arjuna kind of gifted Khandava forest to Agni. So Agni, gift means, gift to Agni means what? It will burn it. Agni will burn it. So Agni had burnt entire Khandavaprastha, Khandava Vana, that forest. Then Agni was very pleased and he gifted Arjuna a nice chariot, right, with beautiful horses. So at that time, Krishna and Arjuna, they went to the forest, right, just to, they were walking there. And Krishna saw a beautiful girl. Her name is Kalindi. She was the daughter of sun god. Krishna had sent Arjuna, go and find what is she doing. So Arjuna went and asked Kalindi, so who are you, oh, young lady, like that. Then she said, I'm the daughter of a sun god. My intention is to marry Lord Vishnu. I will not marry anyone other than Vishnu. Then Arjuna hears all that and then communicates this to Krishna. And eventually Krishna marries Kalindi. Then second, so Rukmini is done. Second is Jambavati. Third is Satyabhama. Fourth is Kalindi. Now fifth. So Krishna married Mitravinda. So she is the princess of Avanti. This Avanti is actually, Avanti king is actually kind of subordinate or the follower of Duryodhana. Right? But Mitravinda loves Krishna so much. So Krishna went and kidnapped Mitravinda. Right? So he took Mitravinda and then started moving out of that Avanti place. And all the enemy kings were chasing Krishna. So Krishna defeated all of them and married Mitravinda. Next, Krishna goes to this is again Mithila only. Koshala. Mithila is Sita's place. Koshala is Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Ayodhya. Ayodhya and Koshala both are same. Right? So he goes to Koshala. Then the king of Koshala's name is Nagnajit. So her Nagnajit. And his daughter is Nagnajiti. And she is very fond of Krishna. She wanted to marry Krishna. Then Krishna, as the super soul in everyone's heart, he understands it. So Krishna personally went to that king and said, please give your daughter in marriage to me. Right? Then he was happy for this proposal. But the king said, Nagnajit said, I have a protocol, right? We have the seven strong bulls. So if someone can tame these seven strong bulls, then he is eligible to marry my daughter. And Krishna, I'm telling you the facts. Many people tried with this, they broke their limbs, right? So they could not succeed. So Krishna said, okay, I'll give me one chance. After all, I'm a cowherd boy. I can tame bulls. So he went there. He expanded himself into 7 forms and tamed all the 7 bulls and then married Nagnajiti. Still, although Krishna did like this, there are so many intolerable kings. How can Krishna marry like this? Kshatriyas like this. Kshatriyas are like this. Right? So, logic is second for Kshatriyas. They want to exhibit their prowess. So, logically, Krishna is supposed to get the hand of Nagnajiti. But still, all the kings became intolerable. They started fighting with Krishna. Krishna defeated all of them and married Nagnajiti. Then Krishna again marries Bhadra, Lakshmana, and thousands of other queens who were in the captivity of Bhaumasur. So at this time, Parikshit Maharaj gets a doubt. Oh, thousands of other queens in the captivity of Bhaumasur? Oh, Krishna killed Bhaumasur. Bhaumasur or Narakasur, both are same. So he asked, I want to know more about the killing of Narakasur. And in the 59th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami elaborates on this episode of Krishna killing the demon Naraka. So this Narakasur, he was a very proud demon. He went to Swargalok and stole the earrings of Aditi and Chhatri, the umbrella of Varuna, and then he left. Right? Then Indra came and gave a complaint on Bhaumasur to Krishna. Krishna, see this great demon, he is actually son of Bhumidevi. He had a big assistant called Murasur. He has 5 heads and Murasur has 7 sons. Right, all of them were assisting and he has a big fort in Pragjyotishpur. So, please do something to protect us. Right, he is insulting the demigods. So, Krishna called Garuda. And Satyabhama also accompanied. Actually, Satyabhama's expansion is Bhumidevi. And Krishna is about to kill the son of Bhumidevi. So, he kind of to approve this whole act. So that Satyabhama can witness this act. He took Satyabhama also. So Krishna and Satyabhama went on the back of Garuda to Pragjyotishpur and then challenged. Krishna blew his conch shell and challenged Narakasur. Narakasur's main assistant is Murasur. So he sent Murasur. So you go and fight with Krishna. So Murasur came out with his trident and there was a big fight. And in this fight, Garuda also participates several times. So then Krishna killed Murasur. Then Narakasur ordered, you go and, Narakasur ordered the 7 sons of Mura, you go and fight with Krishna. So Krishna killed them also. Then finally Narakasur came out. So when Narakasur came out, so there was a big fight and Krishna finally with his Sudarshan Chakra beheaded Bhaumasur, right? The son of Bhumi, and Bhumi came out. And said, see my son, has taken this wrong path. He became very demoniac. So goddess Bhumi started offering prayers and then introduced, here is my grandson. So Krishna installs that grandson. And this Bhaumasur had 16,100 princesses in captivity. So Krishna went there, saw all of them. So now where can they go? Once a girl is taken by another man, nobody will marry them. So all these princesses said, nobody will marry us. Then Krishna assured them, I will marry you. Then he had sent all these princesses back, very opulently. So he took care of them and then sent all of them back. And why he didn't go with them? Because Krishna is obliged to Indra, right? So he killed Bhaumasur. He got Aditi's earrings. He got Varuna's umbrella. And he has the responsibility to give them to Indra. So he went to Swargalok and gave this earrings, etc. to Indra, entrusted them. So Indra received Krishna nicely. They gave good hospitality to Krishna and Satyabhama. Then in the garden of heavenly planets, Satyabhama sees this Parijata tree. Right? So Krishna, she asks Krishna, I want this Parijata tree. Actually, there is a background to this incident. Once Narada Muni gives a small Parijata flower, one Parijata flower to Krishna, you can gift it to your favorite personality, favorite wife. So Krishna was obliged to, actually that happened in Rukmini's palace, I think. So Krishna gifted it to Rukmini. Then Satyabhama came to know this. Are you gave it to Rukmini? What about me? So that was and she became a little upset. And Krishna said, why one flower? I'll give the full tree. So actually Krishna had Parijata trees. But Parijata trees are of different kinds. Right? When Krishna erected this Dwaraka fort, Indra personally came and gave several Parijata trees to Krishna. So they were there in Dwaraka. But Parijata trees are of different breed. Just like rose has different colors and different breeds. Dutch roses, this and that. So this Parijata is very special. It is there in the heavenly planets. So Krishna went and picked up that Parijata tree completely, put it on the back of Garuda, and then he started leaving along with Satyabhama. Then Indra came. How can you take my Parijata tree? Just now he took a favor from Krishna and he started fighting with Krishna. And Krishna, he accused Krishna, you are a henpecked husband, right? Actually, you are henpecked because of inciting of Sachi and all, you are just jumping on me only. So there was a fight. Krishna defeated them and then brought Parijata from Swargaloka and planted in Satyabhama's garden. She was very happy. So after coming back, Krishna married 16,100 princesses, right? And Krishna's dealings with his wives are very nicely described. He married all of them. He expanded himself into 16,100 and stayed with them, gave them all comforts, right? So Prabhupada also explains very nicely in some lectures this thing. He can't maintain even one wife. Krishna is maintaining so many, all those statements Prabhupada makes. No, this one image with a queen I just took. It's nothing related. Then Sukadeva Goswami describes one beautiful incident where Krishna teases Rukmini. So one day Krishna went into Rukmini's palace, and Rukmini, although she had so many hundreds of maid servants, she started serving Krishna personally. Then in the description of Rukmini's palace is also given by Sukadeva Goswami. Then Krishna started teasing Rukmini. So there's like very big list there. Why did you marry me? I just ran away from my place and hiding in within the ocean here. I'm not a very courageous king. And my background is I came from a cowherd community. And Shishupala was so qualified. Now also it's not late. Better late than never. You can always go to Shishupala and then marry him. At that time, Rukmini had sons and grandsons also. Still, Krishna is kind of joking. But Rukmini is of very mild nature. If Krishna had said this to Satyabhama, that could have been a different effect. But he spoke this to Rukmini. Rukmini fainted. So Rukmini, she couldn't take it. Even the the word that Krishna spoke, that you can go to some other place, she could not bear it. She fainted. And then Krishna, hey, I was just joking with you. She lifted her and then she comforted her. Krishna comforted her. Then Rukmini, one by one, she started defeating all the proposals given by Krishna. You are not qualified, you are qualified in this way. So like that, there's a big table there in your notes. So Lord Krishna appreciated Rukmini's devotion. So now, Sukadeva Goswami describes another exciting incident. After describing the marriages of Krishna, the theme is marriages. First 8 marriages are described, then 16,100 marriages are described, and briefly about Krishna's dealings with his wives, especially Rukmini was described. Now Sukadeva Goswami speaks about the progeny of Krishna. So how Krishna reciprocated with different queens of Dwaraka. So Krishna had sons and grandsons, and from each of these 16,100 wives, Krishna had 10 sons. Right, and they had sons. Okay, they all of them are equal in prowess to Krishna. So like that, Krishna's only Krishna's family itself is like tens and millions. Right, so that number is also not exactly given. He says tens of millions. So after this description, he moves ahead, and Parikshit Maharaj asks one question. I heard that the marriage of Pradyumna and Aniruddha happened with Rukmi's daughter and granddaughter respectively. Rukmi's daughter was given to Pradyumna. Rukmi's granddaughter was given to Aniruddha. Rukmi did this just to please his sister, Rukmini. So I want to know more about that. So he describes. So Pradyumna marries Rukmavati. So this, well, he was in Rukmi's daughter. So Bhojakata, at Bhojakata, he was staying there. He didn't go back to Kundinapura. So he had a daughter, Rukmavati. So she was married to Pradyumna. Actually, Rukmavati chooses Pradyumna in her Swayamvar. Right? Then his granddaughter named Rochana was given to Aniruddha. Right? So after that, at the marriage ceremony of Aniruddha and Rochana, so all the Kshatriyas were sitting there, and this Rukmi invited Balram to play dice with him, right? So let's play dice. So they were having a match. So if I win, I'll play 100 gold coins, 1,000 gold coins, 1 lakh gold coins, like that. So at some point, the bet went to 1 lakh gold coins, and Balramji fairly won that. But Rukmi had some associates also, other kings also. Kalinga, king of Kalinga, all of them. So they said, this Rukmi won. Right? So Balramji was a little disturbed, but he didn't say, okay, fine. Again, next match. Next match also, Balramji fairly won, and Rukmi is claiming that, no, I have won. Then the Akashvani said, actually, Balramji won. Rukmini is lying. Rukmi is lying. Then Rukmi said, no. Rukmi ignored that Akashvani also. He said, you people are cowherd boys. You don't know how to play with dice. This is meant for Kshatriyas. Gambling is meant for Kshatriyas, not for cowherd boys. You don't know how to play. Then Balramji took his gada and then smashed down Rukmi's head, and he was dead. Then Krishna was neutral. He didn't say anything. he has to take care of both Rukmini and Balram also. So he was silent. He was sitting like this. This Rukmi, he was the king of Kalinga, he was laughing. So Krishna, Balram just punched him, all the teeth came out. Like that. That's how then from Bhojakata, all this Rukmi, Rukmini, Krishna, Aniruddha, Rochana, all of them went back to Dwarka. So that is about Rukmi's daughter. Rukmi's granddaughter. So Rukmi loved his sister Rukmini. That's one thing. That's the only thing. So Pradyumna marries Rukmavati. Pradyumna also marries that Rati, Mayavati. Then Aniruddha marries Rochana. Aniruddha had another wife, Usha. No, she was actually, somehow she came into the captivity of Shambhara, demon. And because of her mystic powers and all, she is able to control Shambhara, and then she was protected also. You had some extra data? Instead of Parvati. Not that. Yeah. He was protecting her chastity also. So there is another story. There is one great demon called Banasur. He is the son of Bali Maharaj. He is a great devotee of Shiva. He was playing Mridanga with all his 1,000 hands. Right? So that photo was there, but somehow I missed it. I didn't get time to search for it. I had that photo. He was playing and Shiva was there. Shiva was dancing. Like that. And actually he wanted a benediction from Shiva. Right? I want to fight with someone. Like that. Then Vishnu will come and fight you, you fool. Like that Shiva benedicts. So his daughter, her name is Usha. So once she was lying down, and then she had a vision of Aniruddha. Right? So he gave her heart to Aniruddha, and she told her friend Chitralekha, right? So Chitralekha. So I saw a beautiful man, okay, in my dream. So what can you do something? So then Chitraleka goes to Dwarka and then kidnaps Aniruddha and brings him to Usha's place. And Usha was associating with Aniruddha. Then slowly this Banasura observes this. Oh, my daughter is staying with somebody. Then he understands this is Aniruddha. He kind of he captures Aniruddha. Then in Dwarka, all the people started searching for Aniruddha. Who took Aniruddha? Aniruddha is missing suddenly. Then Narada Muni came and revealed. Actually, Aniruddha was in captivity of Banasur. So this is what has happened. Then there was a big fight. So because Banasur was a devotee of Shiva had to take side of Banasur here. And now there is a big fight. So Shiva and Ganesh ji and Kartikeya, all of them took the side of Banasur. And Balaram ji, Krishna, and all of them took the side of Krishna. Right? There was a big fight. Ganpati was there. Then Shiva, Krishna fights with Shiva and Banasur. And Krishna, Shiva releases Shivajwara, and Krishna releases Vishnujwara, and there was a big fight. Shivajwara was defeated, and Vishnujwara came victorious. And Shivajwara offered prayers to Lord Krishna. And finally, Krishna cuts the arms of Banasur, and Lord Shiva also comes and offers prayers and said, I am obliged. This devotee, please protect him, protect Banasur. Then Krishna gives mercy to Banasur. And respectfully, Usha was offered to Aniruddha, and Aniruddha, Usha, and all the other Yadus warriors, they went back to Dwarka. That is one incident. Then in the 64th chapter, there is a description. All the young princes of Yadus, they were once playing there, and in one well, they saw a big lizard. Right? Then all of them came and told Krishna, Krishna, we have seen a lizard there. It looks very special and effulgent. What's happening? You come and see. Then Krishna comes and then touches that lizard and picks it out. I had that image also. Krishna just pinging, taking that lizard, seeing that lizard. So then as soon as the lizard got Krishna's touch, it became a big effulgent personality. His name was Nrga. So Krishna told, oh, effulgent personality, what have you done? Why did you get this body of lizard? Then what is your past history? Krishna knows everything, but still he inquired from Nrga so that others can know. And even the Yadu princess also can know. This has some connection with Moshala Leela also. So Krishna gave a lesson to all the Yadus that if you disrespect Brahmanas, this is what will happen to you. Like that. So actually he did not intentionally disrespect Brahmanas. Once this King Nrga, so he gave charity of so many, thousands of cows to one Brahmana. And by mistake, that one cow came and joined back into the herd of King Nrga only. Then to another Brahmana, King Nrga gave some charity of cows. So this cow who joined this herd was given a charity to second Brahmana also. And both Brahmanas came and said, you gave this cow in charity to me. Why are you taking it back and giving that charity to other Brahmana? So there was a dispute. And as a compensation, Nrga said, as a compensation, I can give you 1 lakh cows more. I don't want that. I want this only. Then other Brahmana says, you have already given this to me. How can you take this back? So because of that unknowingly happened dispute and all, because of displeasure of Brahmanas, he got a Nrga body. They got a lizard body. So, and Krishna also gives nice instructions about charity, how one cannot take Brahmana's property. All these instructions he gives in this chapter. That is the 64th chapter. Now in the 65th chapter, we have Balaramji visiting Vrindavan. So when Balaramji went to Vrindavan, so he saw the anxiety of all the gopas and gopis. They came and embraced Balaramji. Ananda Maharaj and Yashoda said, oh, Lord of Universe, oh Balaramji, oh brother, your brother Krishna, may both of you protect us. And all the general Vrajavasis also came. Are you doing well? How is Krishna? Is he happy? And Gopi specifically inquired from Balaram, is Krishna happy there? Does he remember us at all? Right? Will he ever come back here? We have done so much service. Does he remember all of that? How can city woman possibly trust his words, whose heart is unsteady and grateful like that? So Balramji kind of consoled all the gopis, right? And gave them the confidential messages that Krishna had sent for them. So Balramji stayed there for 2 months. So at the time he had Rasalila. So these gopis with whom Balramji was performing Rasalila were different from Krishna's gopis. Right? This is a different set of gopis. So he was doing Rasalila and he wanted Yamuna to come. Yamuna, come. So Yamuna did not respond. You don't respond to my request. So I will immediately with my plow make you into 100 streams. And Yamuna became a little fearful and then came and surrendered to Balramji. So sorry, I forgot your glories. And she offered prayers. And Balramji played in the waters of Yamuna with full satisfaction. Here's Rasalila. That is Balramji's visit to Vrindavan. Now this is Paundraka, the false Vasudev. So even his associates are also laughing there. So this Paundraka, somehow he had some bad associates also. He was made to believe that he was Vasudev. He was original Vasudev. He was God. So he had sent very arrogantly a message to Krishna. He said, I am the only, one and only Vasudev. We had this drama also, right, in our retreat. Vasudev, Achyut Nityanand Prabhu, Paundraka. So I am the one and only Vasudev. So who have descended to show mercy to all jivas. I have my personal symbols, Chanka Chakra Gada Padma. So you are also popular as Vasudev. I order you to give up your names and all the symbols and weapons that you are holding. Otherwise you have to give a fight with me. Then hearing this stupid message, all the assembly in the Dwarka Sudharma assembly, they started laughing like anything. They had a very hearty laugh. That was the biggest comedy scene in the day, full day for them. Right? Big humor. So they laughed and Krishna gave him that messenger, gave him his reply. Convey to your king, Paundraka, my reply. When he lies dead there, his body will be eaten by dogs and herons and vultures and other birds, right? Give him that message. So the messenger went. Messenger goes. Himru Prabhu. He was the messenger. So then Krishna actually goes to that place. What is the name of the kingdom?
Kashi only?
In Kashi, this Paundraka was there. Kashiraja was also coming. Okay. Then he came. And saw Paundraka, he was looking exactly like Krishna in terms of decoration. Shankar Chakra Vadana. Krishna had a big laugh there, and a big fight, and he cut the head of Paundraka. Then Kashiraj came, his friend. Oh, my friend, how can you kill my friend? You fight with me also. Then Krishna cut off the head of Kashiraj also, and that head went and went inside the kingdom of inside the city of Kashiraj. Actually, Kashiraj, when he was coming out, he was boasting, right? I will defeat Krishna. So to show how valorous he was, Kashiraj was, Krishna made his head fall directly into the city. So all citizens were wondered, hey, whose head is this? We thought Krishna's head will fall, but Kashiraj's head fell. So they were puzzled to see. Then Kashiraj's son, his name is Sudakshina. So he went to do some tapasya for Shiva, right? So Shiva appeared in front of him after a year or so. Then Shiva asked him, what benediction do you want? Then, I want to defeat this Dwarka, Krishna. Then Shiva gives him just an idea that you perform a ritual to create Dakshinagni fire so that you can employ it, okay? Then Sudakshina comes towards Dwarka and then employs this Dakshinagni fire to burn Dwarka. Then all the citizens of Dwarka come and take shelter of Krishna. Then Krishna sends his Sudarshan Chakra and the Dakshinagni fire was contracted. And not just that, if this Dakshinagni fire, according to Shiva's condition, if Dakshinagni fire cannot burn that enemy, that will come and burn his own city. So this Dakshinagni fire went to Kashi city and then burned Kashi completely, Varanasi. Correct. So that is one incident. Then next comes Dvivida Gorilla. So Lord Balram was once having his pastimes with some woman. Then this Dvivida Gorilla came and disturbed them. Actually, this Dvivida was an associate of Sugriva, right? And he was a big friend, great friend of Narakasur. And his brother was Mahinda. So he, because of his bad association, although he was associate of Sugriva, later he took bad association and then he became very demoniac. And to avenge the death of his friend Narakasur, this demon in the ape body, so he came and started setting fire to the cities, villages, mines, etc. He started kidnapping men and women, threw them into the caves. He churned the ocean, he submerged all the villages into the ocean. He was doing all atrocities. Then while he was engaged in those atrocities, he heard the sound, beautiful, pleasing sound from that Raivataka mountain. So that is Balramji's leelas were happening there. So he came there and he did all mischief in front of all the concerts of Balramji, right? Then Balramji started fighting with him, and Dvivida took a big shala tree and then threw on Balramji. Balramji just immediately smashed it. Like that, the entire forest became treeless because of their fight. So finally, collarbone is here only. So Balramji just threw his mace on his collarbone. So then finally he killed Dvivida. Then the marriage of Samba. Samba is one of the sons of Krishna. So this Samba, this young boy, so he went and kidnapped Lakshmana. Lakshmana was the daughter of Duryodhan. And he was going. Then all the warriors of Kuru dynasty, this Duryodhan, Dushasan, then Karana and all those people were there. So they were agitated. How can this Samba young boy, Jambavati's son, how can he kidnap our daughter? Right? He was kidnapping her from her Swayamvara ceremony. So then they all came together and decided that we have to arrest Samba. What will Vrishnis do? Right? We are more powerful than them. So they went and Karna, Shala, Bhuri, Yajnaketu and Suyodhan, Duryodhan, they went to attack Samba, and Samba showed very nice prowess in fighting with all these big warriors, experienced warriors. But finally, with some evil means, right, indirect means, they captured Samba and held him in captivity. So this news came to Ugrasena, Dwarka. So Ugrasena said, they just captured our prince, so we need to fight with them. Then Balramji said, why to fight with Hastinapur people, right, Kurus? After all, we are kind of relatives only. So let's go with a peace proposal. So Balramji went along with some Brahmanas to Hastinapur and had sent a message. He was standing outside with Uddhava. He had sent a message towards the Kurus. So he said, even though you have conquered Samba by irreligious means, I am tolerating your bad behavior. Just because we are family members, we have to have the unity. Then all the Kurus became offended and said, "Arey, see, the force of time indeed is insurmountable. A lowly shoe wants to climb on the head and wants to bear the royal crown. So basically all you Vrishnis and Yadus, you are subordinates of our Hastinapur. We are Kurus, we are more superior, right? So you are not qualified to use this royal paraphernalia." So like that, they speak so many things. Then Balramji became very angry. "You are so proud, out of pride, they are not respecting us. Ugrasena is not qualified to give any command to Kurus. Even Indra follows his commands. Krishna is not qualified to sit on royal throne. right? Even he has Sudharma Hall, he has Parijata tree, Indra and demigods come and surrender unto him. How can he not have that privilege or, you know, qualification to sit on royal throne? So like that, he kind of glorifies Krishna and expresses his anger on all these Kurus. Now I will merge this entire Hastinapur into Ganga. And then he started taking his plow and then started dragging Hastinapur with his plow. You see, dragging a whole city, not one chair. Dragging the entire city. He was trying to do that and all the Kurus become very afraid. And then they came out and they fell at the feet of Balaramji and they pacified him. Oh, sorry, sorry, please forgive us. And Balaramji said, okay, fine, you have surrendered to me. I will not do any harm. Then he accepted those prayers. And he took Samba and Lakshmana to Dwarka, okay, after their marriage. So that is 68th chapter. Now in the 69th chapter, we have Narada Muni. So they are all small stories that are being narrated by Sukadeva Goswami, not so much in chronological order, but they are all different pastimes of Krishna. So Narada Muni once wanted to visit Krishna. How is Krishna maintaining 16,108 wives in one body? But I want to see how he is conducting his family life. So he was very curious. So Narada Muni once came to Dwarka. First he began with Rukmini's palace. So Krishna received Narada Muni so nicely, right? He washed his feet. And Sukadeva Goswami also describes the beauty of Dwarka city and Rukmini's palace. Then Narada Muni visited there. He was received by Krishna so nicely and offered prayers, and Krishna spoke so many things. Then later Krishna, Narada Muni went to Satyabhama's palace. There also he saw Krishna. Then Krishna was inviting Narada Muni as if he never saw him in the recent past. So he went to Rukmini's palace. After coming out of Rukmini's palace, Narada Muni went to Satyabhama's palace. There also he saw Krishna. And Krishna was behaving as if nothing has happened in Rukmini's palace. Like that. So he was, although Narada Muni just went from this door to that door, there, that place also he was there. So like that, he saw at so many places. Once at one place, Krishna was playing dice with Uddhava. Then Krishna worshipped Narada Muni wherever he went. And these are different activities that Krishna was doing in various palaces. Somewhere he was riding horses. Somewhere he was consulting Uddhava. Somewhere as an affectionate father, he is patting his small children. Somewhere he is doing some yajñas. And in some other palace, he was seeing off all the relatives who were leaving from Dwarka. Somewhere he was receiving relatives. Somewhere he was like doing some practice of sword. Somewhere he was doing some Gayatri Mantra chanting. Somewhere he was giving charity to Brahmanas. So like that, he saw so many things. And then finally he said at the end of the day, oh Krishna, you are inconceivable. You have inconceivable energy. Simultaneously, you can do so many things. Then Narada Muni offered prayer. Now we understood your mystic potencies, which are inconceivable. Right? Then Krishna said, I am the speaker of religion, its performer and sanctioner. I observe religious principles to teach them to the world. My child, do not get disturbed. Because Krishna was apparently doing so many ordinary activities also, right? Sword practice. Why he has to practice? He already knows. He masters. He is the Chatushashti Kala Prapurna. So he need not practice, but he is doing it. He is apparently involved in so many family affairs. All these are to set an example for everyone. That's why the immediate next chapter describes Krishna's daily activities, what all things he is involved in. So early morning, right, Krishna wakes up in Brahma Muhurta, right, and he has his own morning program. He comes, he meditates, right, when this cock, it starts making sound, right, then Krishna gets up, and all the queens wanted to continue. Oh, why night ended so early? They wanted to continue sleeping, but Krishna wakes up to set an example. He performs all rituals, he meditates on himself, and distributes charity, all that. Then some of those activities that he was involved in were described. And Krishna goes out of each palace. 16,108 palaces are there. So he spends time there with each of the queens. And when the time for office time comes, right? He has to go to Sudharma Assembly Hall office. So he goes out and he comes out of each palace in a chariot, and all the 16,108 Krishnas merge into one Krishna, and he goes to Sudharma Hall, right? And he had his meetings there. So one day in Sudharma Hall, meeting is happening. So once a messenger came with a letter, right? That was a letter written by 20,000 kings, right? So they were all held in captivity by Jarasandha. Jarasandha wanted all of them to surrender, but they did not want to surrender. So they wrote a letter to Krishna. So you destroy fear of the surrendered people, please destroy our fear, right? You descend to protect saintly people and punish the wicked, punish Jarasandha, and we are saintly, you protect us, right? So please release us, we are in the captivity of Jarasandha. That was the letter. Then Narada Muni comes with another message. He says, oh my dear Narada Muni, Krishna, this Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is planning to do a Rajasuya sacrifice, right? So he's inviting you. So please attend that sacrifice. Now Krishna had two requests, right? Two invitations, two programs, right? One from 20,000 kings, one from Pandavas. Now he wants to take a call where to go. He consults Uddhava. So Uddhava plays multiple roles in Krishna's pastimes. On a very spiritual level, he is the confidential messenger between Krishna and gopis. He wanted to become a lata, gulma lata, or whatever, creeper or bush in Vrindavan. On the other side, he takes him in all official meetings also, right? So here in this official meeting, political meetings also. So in this context, Uddhava is giving a suggestion. Krishna, my suggestion is you do both. How I do both? Because Bhima is a perfect opponent for Jarasandha. So Bhima should kill Jarasandha. First you accept the invitation of Pandavas and go to Pandavas, right? And have some discussions with them. There you take Bhima and Arjuna and go to Jarasandha. And Jarasandha is a very charitable person. You beg charity of fight, a duel from Jarasandha, and Bhima will defeat him, right? Then you come back and do the Rajasuya sacrifice, right? So like that you can, and when Bhima defeats Jarasandha, you can definitely deliver all the 20,000 kings, imprisoned kings. That's how you fulfill the both parties' requests. So Krishna agrees to that idea and he travels to Indraprastha, right? So Krishna goes to Indraprastha, and the how like Krishna and all his queens and other family members traveled from Dwaraka to Indraprastha was very nicely described by Sukadeva Goswami, right? So Krishna's journey to Indraprastha. Then Pandavas respectfully received Krishna, and in the next chapter, in the 72nd chapter, Yudhishthira Maharaj presents a request to Krishna. So Krishna, my Magadha is Bihar, correct. Indraprastha, I don't know. Delhi only, close to Hastinapur.
Hastinapur was Delhi and Indraprastha is very close.
Okay, Delhi. Oh, he's from Delhi. Okay. So Yudhishthira Maharaj presents a request in front of Krishna. That was a proposal to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. So why? What was my intention in performing Rajasuya sacrifice? Krishna, I just want to glorify you. And Prabhupada in his Krishna book, and here also, there was like long description. What was the intention of Yudhishthira Maharaj? He just wanted to glorify and worship Krishna, right? So Krishna appreciates his plan and approves Yudhishthira Maharaj's plan, and he suggests your Pandavas can go and conquer four directions. So Nakula goes, and Bhima goes to the east, and others, Pandavas goes to other three directions, and then conquer those directions and come back. And later, Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna, they go to Jarasandha, right? Then they went like Brahmanas, and they said, we want charity. What charity? Duel. We want fight with you. Then well, Jarasandha understood, these are not Brahmanas, they are some other people. Then their forms were revealed. So there was a big fight between Jarasandha and Bhima. So Bhima just takes Jarasandha and Jarasandha. So Rakshasi named Jara did the sandhi of the two halves of Jarasandha, and he became one Jarasandha. Bhima makes them into two and then throws them like this on the recommendation or idea of Krishna, and Jarasandha was dead. Actually, these 28 days, I think, this battle happened. And 27 days. So during the day they would fight, and in the night they were like friends. Okay, they sit together, eat together, like that. So this happened, and all the kings who were in the captivity of Jarasandha, they came in front of Krishna and then offered prayers. Please save us from this samsara. We don't blame Jarasandha. Right? It's actually your mercy. Even when some difficulty comes upon us, that is because of your mercy. So we are in illusion. We are proud. We don't hanker for anything material now. So like that. So Krishna instructs the kings, right? Give up your bodily consciousness. Remain fixed in your vows and concentrate your minds on me. Like that. And Krishna arranges for their bathing and then proper dressing, etc. So Lord Krishna arranged everyone, arranged whatever they need, and he had sent them back to their kingdoms. And Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna came back to Indraprastha. So then Rajasuya sacrifice now, right? So Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj acknowledges Krishna's mercy, and all the great rulers are there, and so many demigods also assembled in the Rajasuya sacrifice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, all great rulers carry out your orders, but you carry orders of fools who accept themselves as rulers, right? Your absolute truth, your power is not affected by your activities, like that. So he glorifies him, and later Sahadeva takes over and establishes Krishna's supremacy as Supreme Lord and the only person who is qualified to accept Agra Puja, okay, in this assembly. So everyone agrees to that, okay? They approve Sahadeva, whatever Sahadeva had said, and we all unanimously agree that Krishna should receive Rajasuya, Agra Puja in Rajasuya sacrifice. Narada Muni was there, Shiva was there, Brahma was there, so many other demigods were there, Varuna was there. But one person disagreed, Shishupala. Actually, Shishupala, king of Chedi. So Krishna, Shishupala was about to marry Rukmini, and Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. Shishupala had so much grudge. And since childhood, he had grudge. Right, he wanted to learn speaking only to blaspheme Krishna. He was blaspheming Krishna. So he got the right context. Then he criticized Krishna in so many ways. All these big, big experienced people are sitting there. They are all like children. Bachchaloge. They don't know whom to offer Agra Puja. So he said like that. And the assembly had the blasphemy of Krishna. So they covered their ears, some people just walked out, some people cursed Shishupala, and Pandavas and other good kings, they rose up with their swords, right, to attack Shishupala. Then finally Krishna killed Shishupala, right, he gave him liberation. And apparently the soul, the light from Shishupala's body came and merged in Krishna. So this incident is also described in 7th canto, 1st chapter. Yudhishthira Maharaj gets adored. How can Shishupala be liberated? I never saw him doing anything good. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj says that. So that was described there. Actually, he is one of Jaya and Vijaya. So this is their third birth. Okay, Shishupala and Dantavakra. So Rajasuya sacrifice was successfully completed. Should we take a break? This chapter also will finish. So Rajasuya sacrifice. In Rajasuya sacrifice, one important event happened, right? Very key event for the root incident for Mahabharat war. So, it had a glorious conclusion. Maharaj Parikshit himself asked here, why Duryodhana was not satisfied with the sacrifice, right? So then Sukadeva Goswami gives the details of how Rajasuya sacrifice was done and what everyone was doing there. So Krishna was washing feet. Duryodhana was taking care of treasury, Then Karna was doing charity. So there are different service allocation. Premahotsav service allocation was there. So like the Rajasvi Sacrifice service allocation. And Krishna was washing the feet of everyone. Then Duryodhan, he wanted to see this palace in Indraprastha. This palace was there that Maya has created. He wanted to see that. So Duryodhan entered that palace and he was wondering at everything. And then he saw one pool there, and then he fell into that pool, right? Everyone started laughing. Bhima started laughing like anything. Right? And all the ladies also started laughing. Yudhishthira said, "Hey, don't laugh, aray, bichara." He just fell down. Why are you laughing at him? Then Krishna said, "Don't control them, let them laugh." So Duryodhan felt so insulted. First he was burning with envy. How can Yudhishthira Maharaj have such an opulence? How can he conduct such a great sacrifice? Right? We wanted to chase them out. We wanted to kill them. And now he is becoming more and more successful. And on top of it, apart from this envy, he was insulted also. So he became very envious. Like that incident was also described by Sukadeva Goswami. So this we will take after a break. 5-10 minutes. Like one flow is going easily. This is also like in the flow only. 76. Shalva is Shishupala's friend. After Shishupala's death, he wanted to take revenge.
They are all friends.
Dantavakra. Actually, 10th canto is little, I am also a little lost. Especially the Dwarka Leela. First 40 chapters I remember. Which chapter is what? Here, maybe I'll come up with something. As of now, I see only, then only I'll remember. I mean, 11th canto Uddhava Gita also is like that. We get a little lost.
done earlier? We had this is the third over here.
Hare Krishna. 76th chapter, we have this battle between Shalva and the Vrishnis. So Shalva is the friend of Shishupala and he was also one of the kings who was defeated by Yadus at Rukmini's marriage. So at the time of Rukmini's marriage, Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and then Yadus defeated many kings. So he was one of the fellows who were defeated. So he worshipped Shiva. So he used to take one handful of sand, okay, and that was his austerity to please Shiva. So although Shiva is Asutosh and he would be satisfied easily, but Shiva took 1 year to be satisfied with this fellow. So Shalva, after Shiva came, Shalva requested for a vehicle. Okay, that vehicle is called Shaubha. So I wanted that vehicle so that it should travel anywhere. Right? It cannot be destroyed by anyone and it can travel anywhere. That's what I want. So Shiva granted that vehicle. And Shalva took that vehicle and attacked Vrishnis in Dwaraka. So Krishna was in Rajasuya sacrifice there. Right? He went to do Rajasuya sacrifice. And now Shalva, at that time, Shalva came and attacked Dwaraka. So Pradyumna and other Vrishnis came here. So to fight Shalva. So there was a big fight. And at one point, Pradyumna was kind of collapsed. Then Pradyumna's driver is... Darukasana, that and what is his name? Okay, name is okay. Daruka's son. So he, when Duman attacked Pradyumna, so Pradyumna, that Daruka's son just took him away. Then Pradyumna felt little bad that why did you take me away? Any warrior who will leave battlefield will get infamy like that. Then he said, I just did my driver's job of. Protecting the warrior. So then the fight went for 27 days. So Lord Krishna came here because he was understanding, because he can understand by inauspicious signs that some calamity is there in Dwaraka because of my absence. So after Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna immediately returned to Shalva, returned to Dwaraka and saw Shalva attacking Dwaraka. And there was a big fight happened between Shalva and Krishna. And Shalva makes a illogical thing. Actually, he creates an illusion where the one fellow comes and informs Krishna that your father is dead. Okay? And actually, Krishna attacks Shalva so much. Then Shalva disappears for a while. And then after some time, he manifests and then shows Vasudeva's form. And then he beheads Vasudeva and then he throws the body. Then for a while he takes that head and then goes into the Shaubha airplane. Then for a moment Krishna was aggrieved. Balramji is very powerful. He is protecting all our elderly relatives. How can this happen like that? So that is. But Krishna immediately came out of the delusion. Right? Some sages feel that Krishna is also illusion, but it is not a fact. So there were few verses like that. So Lord is never subjected to illusion or ignorance. Then Krishna kills Shalva. Then after that, this Dantavakra, that team will come. Okay, Dantavakra Vidurata. Okay. Then Dantavakra is another, he is also Jaya Vijaya, one of the people, Jaya and Vijaya. Right, out of friendship with Shalva, Paundraka and Shishupal, this wicked Dantavakra came on the battlefield just back to back after the fight with Shalva. So Krishna killed Dantavakra also. Then Lord killed Vidurata, who entered Dwaraka. So that is that's where we end Krishna's killing of demons, right? It's like one of the last demons that Krishna killed in the 10th canto. Then Balaramji's pastimes are described. So Lord Balaram heard that Kurus were preparing for war, Kurukshetra. So he did not want to take side. Duryodhan is his disciple and Pandavas are also dear to him. So Balaramji said, I will go for some pilgrimage. So he was neutral. He went for pilgrimage and he saw many places. And on the way, during the pilgrimage, he went to a place where all the sages assembled. And Romaharshan Suta was he was given a high elevated seat, right? He was sitting there speaking on Bhagavatam. Then he did not get up when Balaramji arrived. Actually, a speaker who is sitting there and giving a discourse on Krishna Katha, so he need not get up if someone comes in the audience. But when some exalted personality comes, right, a sannyasi comes, or here Supreme Personality Godhead himself is coming. Okay, then he must get up and then offer obeisances. Then Balaramji said, such a proud person cannot sit on Vyasasan. So he just picked up one blade of grass and with that he killed Romaharshan. Then all the Brahmanas said, are you killed? So there is some atonement, something like that. There were some discussions of atonement. So Balaramji agreed all of that. For 12 months he went for some pilgrimage. Then in the 79th chapter we have the pilgrimage details of Balaramji. And during his pilgrimage he visited so many holy places. Then so after pilgrimage he came to the end of Kurukshetra war. He tried to stop the fight between Bhima and Duryodhan, but he couldn't do so. And Balaramji just went ahead. So then Balaramji again went to Naimisharanya to bless the sages there. So there the sages were being tormented by a demon called Balvala. So they requested Balaramji, please kill this fellow. So Balaramji killed Balvala. So that is just few more pastimes of Balaram. Then comes 80th chapter. This is about Sudama. So once this Sudama was the co-student of Krishna in Sandipurmani school, Gurukul. So Krishna Balaram, they went to Sandipurmani school. Then Sudama was also studying with them. He was a poor Brahmana. So one day his wife requested him, so please go and take some help from financial support from Krishna. We are so poor, we don't have things to eat. Then with great hesitation, Sudama went to Krishna to see Krishna. He was holding some chirped rice, so his wife went and begged from some place and then gave him. So he went there. So Krishna just immediately got up. All his queens were standing there. He was sitting on Rukmini's couch. So Krishna got up and then got down and received Sudama nicely, washed his feet. Right? He was offering so much respect. And all the queens and other palace residents were astonished. How come Krishna is giving so much attention and worship to this poor Brahman like that? So Lord Krishna glorified Sudama Brahman and asked him so many questions, and he recollects what incidents happened during their Gurukul time, school times. So then Krishna recollected, one day we both went to collect some wood under the request of Guru Patni. So we went there, we collected some wood, but there was a huge rain. We were stuck in the storm. Then in the morning, so our Guru came and then received us. So he recollected. And because he also recollected the benediction and blessings of their Guru, Sandipanmani. So Sandipanmani blessed us. You have offered me so much service with so much dedication. So may whatever you have learned stay with you, right? You will never forget it, like that. So after that, Sudama, he was very hesitant to offer that flat rice to Krishna. But Krishna said, Krishna picked up that flat rice and then he himself ate it. So after he took one or two morsels, then Rukmini stopped him, don't take so much already I have eaten. So Sudama Brahman, then he returned. He didn't ask for any money, and there were no such discussions. He went and visited Krishna, and Krishna received him nicely, gave nice hospitality, and then he returned back. So when he was going back, Sudama was feeling with gratitude. He was thinking about Krishna's mercy, right? Then when he went there, went to his home, he saw his home has become a palace. He got unexpected prosperity. So Sudama Brahmana reasoned about how I attained all these opulences, right? That so Sudama Brahmana attains his perfection of life. This is one of the popular episodes of 10th canto. Then another event of Krishna and Balaram meeting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So this happened at Kurukshetra. Okay, so Yadus and many other kings, they traveled to Kurukshetra to observe solar eclipse, right? So Yadus went there. They were fasting and they gave charity to Brahmanas, like that. So Krishna and Balaram received all the other kings who arrived there. So there were like a big get-together of so many people, residents of so many places. Then even Kunti came, Vasudev came, they exchanged greetings with each other. And all the other kings glorified the fortunate position of Yadus. Oh, Krishna is directly with you. Balaramji is with you. Like that. So on the solar eclipse day, even Vrajavasis also came. Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamayi and all others also came. So Yadus received Nanda Maharaj. Krishna and Balaram received Nanda Maharaj very affectionately, along with all the other Vrajavasis. And there was a glorification of Yashodamayi's selfless service attitude. Rohini and Devaki glorified Yashodamayi's selfless nature. And Rohini was personally a witness of Yashodamayi's affection towards Krishna, although Devaki did not have that privilege. So they glorified Yashodamayi. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamayi showed their affection towards Krishna and Balaram. And all the gopis met. And gopis expressed their feelings. And then Krishna consoles the gopis. Then there was prayers. Then at the same spot, and like things, many meetings are happening parallelly. When so many people are meeting, na? So now Krishna and Yashoda, they were meeting. Devaki and Yashoda and Rohini, they were meeting. And Draupadi and queens, they were meeting. Get together. So they were discussing. So Yudhishthira Maharaj and other kings started praising Krishna. And Draupadi inquired queens, all the other queens, please tell me about marriages. Okay, about your marriage. And all the queens related how they got married to Krishna. Rukmini said her story. Then our Satyabhama told her story. So like that. And each of those queens, they were introducing themselves as Krishna's maid servants. This is a very popular and prominent thing. Prabhupada also highlights this point when in his lectures. And Kaviraj Goswami relates, quotes some of these verses and say, this Dasya Bhava is inherent in devotees of all other rasas. Even a devotee in Madhurya rasa also thinks she is a servant. And devotee in Dasya rasa, anyways, they think. Even Vatsalya rasa devotees also think they are servants. Sakya rasa devotees also think they are servants. So Dasya Bhava is inherent in all the rasas. So all the queens relate their stories. And the eighth queen, Lakshmana, she describes her story elaborately, right? How there was a Swayamvar which was more complicated than Draupadi Swayamvar. So Arjuna pierced that fish. There was a little more complicated, correct? Then Rohini, she's one of the queens of the 16,100. So each queen cannot be speaking like 16,100 verses. So Rohini spoke on their behalf. And it is said that they are like one step ahead of the other queens also because of their devotion. Then the sages start giving teachings at Kurukshetra. Actually, sages were going and Vasudev goes and asks them. Vasudev says, please give me some teachings, right? I'm caught up in this household life. So, and Krishna also glorifies the sages and their compassion. Here only then that popular verse comes. Tiranapaya tridhatuke bhoma yijyadi. What is that verse? Yasyatma buddhir tiranapaya tridhatuke. That thing.
So actually when one goes to place of pilgrimage, he's supposed to meet a sage and take education from him, like that. So sages offer their prayers unto Krishna, and Vasudeva inquires from the sages about the remedy of his household life karma. Then Narada Muni clarifies the mood of Vasudeva. So here is Vasudeva very humble. Then sages instruct Vasudeva in the duties of a family man. Then Vasudeva enthusiastically performs some sacrifices. Actually, sages recommend that you should perform some sacrifices. Then Vasudeva performs those sacrifices. And all the assembled kings and sages depart from Kurukshetra. And Vasudeva, at this point, Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with, Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis were overwhelmed with feelings of affection towards Krishna and Balram. They say, come, at least now you come back to Vrindavan. But apparently, it is written in the direct text that they gave gifts to Vasudeva, to Nanda Maharaj, and they happily left. But actually, it's not that gift. Krishna gives them promise that I will come. By dint of your remembrance, I am always with you. Whenever you close your eyes, whenever you want me to be with you, I am with you. Like that, he promises. Like that. So then Nanda Maharaj and other Vrajavasis depart to Vraja. Then after coming back from Kurukshetra, at Kurukshetra, all the sages glorified Krishna like anything. So Vasudeva and Devaki again came into their Aishwarya mood. They have heard the glories of Krishna. Then they started displaying their feelings of reverence towards Krishna. Then Vasudeva offers so many prayers to Krishna. Right? These are like very technical prayers. Then later, Krishna responds in a very embarrassing way. Then Devaki started offering her prayers to Krishna. Then towards the end of her prayers, she places a request in front of Krishna that before you both, I gave birth to six other children, they are dead now, so please bring them back, I want to see. So then Krishna Balram, they bring back six dead sons of Devaki, right? Actually they bring from Sutala planet, where Bali Maharaj was there. When they went to Bali Maharaj offers prayers to Krishna and Balram. Right, so then all the six children come in front of Devaki as small babies. Then they go back, right? They go back to their original place. They were sons of Marichi. That is one episode. Then 86th chapter describes small incidents. One incident is how Krishna facilitated and supported and approved Arjuna's kidnapping of Subhadra, right? Second incident is about two very nice devotees. They are Srutadeva and Bahulashva. So in Mithila, there are two great devotees. One is king and one is a brahmana, a poor brahmana. So Krishna is aware that these two are my great devotees. So he took Vyasadeva, Narada, then Sukadeva Goswami. There are so many other exalted personalities, sages. So he took them and went to give audience to these two devotees at Mithila. Right? And Krishna's travel is also described when he was going towards Mithila. So when he got down there, so Krishna accepted the worship of the citizens of Mithila, and both of them invited Krishna simultaneously. Krishna expanded into two forms and entered each of their houses. At one house, Bahulasva is the Brahman, right? No, Srutadeva is the Brahman. So Srutadeva, Bahulasva was king. So Srutadeva just borrows some straw mats from his neighboring houses and somehow gives hospitality. So Krishna accepted that gracefully. Then same thing happened, and the king, Bahulasva, he invites Krishna and gives him good hospitality. And Krishna instructs each of them. Krishna instructs Srutadeva and the glorious position of Brahmanas, like that. Then 87th chapter, very favorite chapter of many. So Sukadeva Goswami, here Parikshit Maharaj asks a question: how can how can Krishna manifest through the medium of sound vibration. How can the Vedic knowledge be understood through the medium of sound vibration? So then Sukadeva Goswami describes how all the Vedas personified, Shrutis personified, glorified Krishna. So this is one of the most technical and deep chapter. So when I was reading this chapter, I just read few verses and started the next chapter. Okay. And I was reading few verses from this chapter and continued reading the next chapter. I completed 10th canto. Then entered 11th canto. Somewhere in 11th canto, first few chapters, 4 or 5 chapters I read, parallelly reading this chapter. It's a little difficult to, I don't know, you did it in 2 days only. Of course, with the help of Radhikala Prabhu, everything will become easy to understand. So these are all prayers of personified Vedas. Then here, our Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. I see that some materialistic people worship Shiva and they flourish. They seem to be very opulent. And some devotees of Vishnu is looking opulent, but his devotees are looking like beggars. But Shiva is looking like a mendicant, and his devotees are so opulent. What is this? I'm unable to understand. Then Sukadeva Goswami answers, the absolute nature of Lord Vishnu over Lord Shiva and Brahma, his superiority of Vishnu over Lord Shiva and Brahma. And he narrates a small story, Vrakasur. So this Vrakasur, he was cutting his flesh and putting in the fire. That was his austerity. Right? Shiva came, stop this nonsense, what do you want? He said, whenever I put my head on somebody's head, hand on somebody's head, he should burn to ashes. This benediction you want, okay, lelo. You take it. Then Shiva gives that benediction, and then Vrakasur wanted to test that benediction on Shiva only. Shiva started running away. Then Vishnu came in the form of a small boy and saved Shiva. He said, Shiva's benediction, sometimes they don't work. He was cursed by Shiva. Since that time, he was cursed by Daksha. Since that time, his benedictions don't work. Does it really work? Just test it like this. It doesn't work. Then he did like this and then he was burned to ashes. So Vishnu tricked him like that. Then 88th chapter also has, this must be 89. What is 88? 89 is Arjuna meeting Shiva, Vishnu. Brahmana's sons, Mahavishnu. So, in this has a couple of stories that Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, like once there was a big sacrifice, all the sages were thinking, there was a dispute that arose. So, sages were debating on who is the supreme amongst the three deities. Then Bhrigu was elected, right, to test, to confirm, to finalize who is the supreme worshipable deity. So Bhrigu went there and then he did a mental offense in front of Brahmaji by not offering respects. And Brahma got slightly agitated. He didn't express anger. Then he did a verbal offense to Lord Shiva. Then Shiva got agitated. He became angry. He took his trishul to punish Bhrigu. Then Mother Parvati came and said, "Arey, he's your younger brother. Chalega. You just forgive him." Then he did a physical offense towards Lord Vishnu. He kicked on his chest. But Vishnu exhibited tolerance. He was not agitated at all. So it was confirmed that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even such Vishnu also wants to have the audience of Krishna. Right? So one such probably Prabhu, I just said like that. It's been mentioned somewhere. Okay, fine. I'm in line. Okay. Good. So Arjuna, once there's a Brahmana in Dwaraka. So he was giving birth to, his wife gave birth to a child. And then as soon as the child comes out of the womb and touches the ground, he is dead.
right? Then he, the Brahmana brings the child in front of the Yadu kings, and then he says, because king is not capable of protecting the children, because of king's sins, this kind of treatment is happening to Brahmanas in his kingdom. So like that, so many children were born and they were died. And somehow Arjuna happened to be there at that time in Dwarka. Then all the Yadu kings, they were not saying anything. Then Arjuna said, I will give protection. Okay, and he kind of boasted also, indirectly commenting on these Yadu kings, Balramji and Krishna, like that. Then he said, if I don't protect at the time of next birth, right, you call me. If I cannot protect your child, I will enter fire. So then at the time of next birth, Arjuna was guarding that place, but child was dead. Arjuna could not know who took away the child. Where did the soul go? Then Arjuna was searching, but he couldn't do anything. Finally, he was about to enter fire. Then Krishna came. Come, I'll show you where are the children. So Krishna and Arjuna went, like penetrating through the coverings of universe, and then finally went to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu's abode was there. There he met Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu said, I wanted to have your audience, my dear Krishna. So I want to, I have kidnapped these children, right? These are the children, Brahmana children. So there was discussion. The supremacy of Krishna's glories is established, right? His position as superior to Mahavishnu is established here, right? So the last chapter. So there's a slight description about the beauty of Dwaraka and Krishna's sports with his queens in the lakes of Dwaraka, and then Mahishi Gita. All the transcendental madness. Transcendentally mad talks of the queens of Dwaraka are described here. And the position of the queens of Dwaraka is also established like that. So that's how we end the 10th canto. Damodar Prabhu was sharing, is there written in the book, this book, Bhagavatam book only, last page of the 10th canto, that they have completed the commentary on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. Right, we completed one day late. It's okay. So, they also quoted English calendar only. 27th December, 1988. Oh, that was Tithi. Okay. Okay, good. Congrats to all of you. So one thing, Prabhuji was saying like how to remember that. I just tried in that break little bit. So 50th chapter, I'm just sharing Dwaraka Leela. Vrindavan Leela is quite straightforward, right? So first, Parikshit Maharaj asked that question, and then advent of Lord Krishna, demigods' prayers, then birth of Krishna, then shifting Krishna from Gokul to Mathura to Gokul, right? Then that is 5th chapter. From 5th chapter onwards, 5th chapter is meeting of Nanda and Vasudev. 6th chapter, demon killing starts. Putana, Trinavar, then Shakatasur, then Damodar Leela, other childhood pastimes, then Krishna goes for herding, then Vatsasur, Bakasur, Aghasur, then forest fire, 13th Brahma Mohan Leela, 14th Brahmaji's prayers, 15th is Pralambasur, 15th is Dhenukasur, 16th is Kaliya, 17 is extension of Kaliya, previous history. 18 and 19 are Pralambasur and forest fire, right? Then 20 is autumn, 21 Venugita, 22 is stealing garments, right? 21, from 21 onwards, that gopis pastimes will start. 22 is this Vastarharan Leela, 23 Brahman Patanis, 24, 25, 26, 27, that is all. Govardhan Leela only, right? 26 is wonderful Krishna, 27 is
post that, what happened? Indra comes and meets, right? Then 28th chapter is Nanda Maharaj, right? Between, between is Rasa Panchadhyay. One is 27th, 28th chapter is saving Nanda Maharaj. Then after Rasa Panchadhyay, again one more saving of Nanda Maharaj will come. 28th is Varuna, saving from Varuna. Ambikavan, correct. Shankachuda. Sankarshan. Sudarshan. Sudarshan Gandharva, he comes in the form of a snake and swallows thing. 29 to 33 is Rasa Panchadhyay. 34 is this thing. Then 35 is that Gita. Gopi Gita nahi. Viraha Gita. No, Yugala Gita. Yugala Gita. 35 Yugala Gita. 36, 37 are the concluding demon killing pastimes of Krishna. Vyomasur, Keshi, Arishtasur, Radhakund, Shyamakund, Vipinath, all those will come there. That 37 only, Yashoda, our Narada Maharaj goes and tells the news of Krishna's birth to Kamsa, and then Kamsa sends Akrura. 38 is Kamsa, Akrura is traveling to Vrindavan. 38 is Akrura is traveling to Vrindavan. 39 is Akrura's vision. Okay, 40, he prayers of Akrura. Then 41, 42, 43, 44 is Krishna's entrance into Mathura, then Kubja, washerman, Kovalya Pida, killing of this Shala, Kosala, Tota, all these fellows. Then Kovalya Pida, then Kamsa directly, 44. Okay, Kamsa is body. 45. That way is his education. 46?
That means after the Kalyan, first time he goes to home to meet Devaki and Vasudeva. And then they tell
Correct, correct. Send him for Gurukul. Gurukul, correct. That is 45. Then 46? Uddhava goes to Vrindavan. Then Brahmaragita, 47.
Because
then
Krishna has come to Mathura, all the gopis are trained, so Uddhava has to go.
Uddhava has to go, correct. then he is... Bhramar Gita. After that, he pleases Kubja and Akrura. He sends Akrura to Hastinapur.
He's
Mathura only. Then he goes to Hastinapur. Akrura goes to Hastinapur. Then 50th chapter is Jarasandha's thing. Right? So from there, 50th chapter, Jarasandha attacked him 17 times. Right? Then 51st chapter describes Jarasandha's 18th attack plus Kalayavana approaching. Then at that point,
moving all the Vatravasis
to Dwaraka, correct. Then after that, Rukmini's, Muchukunda, that will come, Kalayavana, that is episode. Okay. Then 52, 53, 54 are Rukmini's episode, right? Actually, this is the beginning of Krishna's marriages. From 52nd verse onwards, 52nd onwards, Krishna's marriages, till 59. 52, 53, 54, Rukmini's marriage. 55 is just one detour, Rukmini's son, Pradyumna. Because Rukmini is mentioned, her son is also mentioned. That is a detour. Then 54 to 56 you come. Second marriage, that is Jambavati. Okay, second and third marriages are there in Samantaka episode. Then 58th chapter, Jambavati. Two marriages. Then second and third marriages. 58th chapter, five marriages. 59th chapter, 16,100 marriages. Right? 58, five princesses. 59 is killing Narakasura and 16,100 marriages. So 52 to 59 is marriages of Krishna. Then 60th onwards, after marriages, there should be some some dealings with queens, then progeny description. Marriages, dealing with queens is Rukmini, teaching Rukmini, 60th. Then 61, progeny is described. After progeny, the marriages of sons and grandsons, they are described. So that is 61, 62, 63. 61, that is actually marriage of Aniruddha. In that marriage, that's a small event. Killing is... So that is Rukmini's son and grandson are married. That is described in 61 and other progeny. Then 62, 63 is marriage of Aniruddha. Another marriage of Aniruddha.
Anirudha marries granddaughter of Rukmi and also Usha. So Banasura also comes along with that. Okay. Then 64 is like education to the sons, that is Nruga. So 60 to 64 is like progeny and dealings and their passions, related to Krishna's passion, related to the progeny, 60 to 64. Then 65 to 68 are Balramji's pastimes. 65 is Balram goes to Vrindavan. 66 Pondraka comes, little extra thing. But 67 is killing of Dvivida. 68 is... Actually, Chakravarti Pada writes in one of those places, either in 65th or 78th. I want to know more about Balramji's pastimes. I don't exactly recollect. I want to know about Balramji's pastimes. Then, where 60? 67th he says, na, right? Because 65 he started Balramji going to Vrindavan. 66 he went to Pondraka. Then 66 he said, I want to hear more about Balramji's pastimes. Krishna sends or like Balramji goes to Vrindavan. Whether Krishna send or not, I need to recollect. Krishna sends? Like Uddhava, Krishna sends Balramji also. Okay. Then 67, Dvivida. 68 is Samba's marriage. That is Balramji's episode only. How he terrorized Kurus. Right? From 69 onwards, till... 65, 67, 68, they are Balram's chapters. 68 also. Yeah, that is Balramji. Then 69 onwards, there is like one thread going. 69 till 78, next 10 chapters. 69 is Narada Muni visits Krishna in every palace. Right? There is a description of what Krishna does in every palace, with all the queens. And 70 is like immediate auxiliary thing to that chapter. Krishna's daily activities are lightly described. And Krishna's daily activities in Sudharma Hall are described. And one such day, one messenger came from Pandavas, another messenger came on the behalf of Captain. Correct. 69, 70. 69 are all home pastimes, 70 is office pastimes. Then Uddhava gives him that suggestion. Right, Sudhar Mahal. Yeah. 71 is Indraprastha, 72 is Jarasandha killing. 73 is blessing the liberated kings after killing Jarasandha. Then after that he comes back to Indraprastha and takes that Rajasui sacrifice and kills Shishupal there, 74. That is all Rajasui episode. That is 75, correct. Yeah. 76 is when he was at Rajasuya, Shalva came and attacked Dwaraka. So Krishna comes from Rajasuya to Mathura. Dwaraka. And protects them from Shalva. Then after Shalva, this Virudra, Vidurata and Dantavakra. Correct. When Shalva attacked Dwaraka, Krishna saw inauspicious signs in Hastinapur. Rajasuya time. That was the link. After Rajasuya sacrifice. After yes, Prabhu. Somewhere it comes like that. Mathura. Yeah, correct. In one purport it's elaborately mentioned. Okay, correct. In one purport it comes. Shalva. 76, 77. 78. They're all one fight only, like one thread. Then 79 is what chapter? Again Balramji comes here, 79. Correct. Then 88th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj himself asks, I want to know more about Krishna's pastimes. I'm very happy to hear. Then there are some discrete kind of pastimes. 80-81 is Sudama, one episode. 82 to 85 is continuously about Kurukshetra related pastimes. See, 82, 83, 84, 85. 82 they go to Kurukshetra, meet Vrajavasis. Yeah, yes, Prabhu. 82, going to Kurukshetra. 83 also happened in Kurukshetra. 84 also Kurukshetra. 85 is after coming back from Kurukshetra, Vasudeva and Devaki became reverential towards Krishna. That is after coming back from Kurukshetra. It is in Dwarka. This is in Dwarka, Prabhu. Actually, after sending Vrajavasis back, Krishna and all Yadus, they come back to Dwarka. After he remembering those teachings, then they come. So 85 happened in Dwarka. Then some other, 86 onwards, some other smaller pastimes are mentioned. Arjuna kidnapping Subhadra. Then Krishna meeting Bahulashva, Srutadev, prayers of personified Vedas because of Parikshit Maharaj's question.
How
to meet Bahulashva and Srutadev.
No, where these two fellows called him, no? Kumbhakaran to... I think he went to the entrance of Mithila, that means they called him.
No, he wanted to give them audience. Yes, Prabhu, just to meet them. He is aware that there are two nice devotees. Like that. So remaining, the last five chapters are like smaller pastimes episodes given to prove supremacy of Krishna, like that. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Shuttala, so actually they were demigods, means the sons of Mariji. So why they were in Shuttala? They should be in evil places.
Yes.
Is there any connection? Why they were in Shuttala?
After they were killed by Kamsa, they went to Shuttala planet for a while. Because of their offense to Brahmaji, they had to spend time here. Okay, they had to fulfill all obligations. So it's already pre-arranged that Devaki also will ask, right? They had one more activity that is left out, to meet Devaki. After that, they went back to their original positions.
As
Marichi sons.
Laughed. You know, they laughed when Brahma was attracted to his daughter. So that became an offense. So they became Kalanemi's sons, you know. Then again, did they become sons of Hiranyakashipu?
Yes, Prabhu.
And why did Hiranyakashipu curse them that you fellows will be killed by your own father? And then,
exactly,
then Vasudev becomes a reason for their death because he only hands them over to Kamsa and all those six children there. So if they happen to be Hiranyakashipu's sons, why would a father curse the son to...
Actually, Prabhupada writes it somewhere, but I didn't get full understanding of that. So I don't exactly recollect, but Hiranyakashipu's cursing these six sons is there. I don't know the exact details of that.
So they were all born after that, he had those four sons, Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu had four more sons.
Yeah, you know that, something about it?
They went for austerities without consulting father. So he cursed him.
Hiranyakashipu's sons went for austerities without
telling Hiranyakashipu.
Where is it mentioned?
I think I read in the commentary only.
Okay, fine. Somewhere it comes, yeah.
Recently I read the commentary.
Okay, fine.
And I don't know because I'm solving so
many. We need to compile a small book with the small details. In 10th canto, 2nd half, there are so many small details. And the story also runs very fast. Okay, Prabhu. So, 8th, next Friday, we'll have Grand Test on 10th Canto. and tomorrow and day after tomorrow Prema Mahotsava services and others. Then Monday we can start 11th canto, is it okay? Or you want one day off for preparation for 10th canto? 10th canto grand test, second half. Huh? No, Friday is grand test, that is fixed. Okay. Before that, some off is needed. Yes. Or will you manage? Huh? Grand test on Friday, bro. Thursday holiday. But because last 2-3 days we didn't have proper test. Grand test will focus, will have compulsory questions from the last chapters. Prayers of personified Vedas and all. We didn't have regular test. Na? So I think it's worth giving one day off. Is it okay, Prabhu? So Thursday off, Friday exam. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday we'll have 11th canto, regular. Is it okay? Oh, they're remaining. We didn't cover, right? Oh, that's main. So Monday, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu will come. We'll have Brahmar Gita. After that, he'll start 11th canto. That's better. Yeah, that's the main. I forgot about that one. Okay. Anything you want to share? I gave the last overview. 10th canto, 21 to 40. 21 to 50 overview I gave. Then again I gave overview, you know. I hardly met in the middle. So anything to be, anything want to share? I didn't brush up completely, I had to admit that, because of so many busy things happening. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we'll try to streamline from... Actually, morning Bhagavatam class timings are little going up and down because of that also, and venue also. So now, venue will kind of freeze. Vidyapit classroom, one class will happen for sure there only. I think we'll keep it that for your batch only. Because of so many groups, we are kind of going here and there also. That is also not fixed. Sometimes in Radharaman, sometimes in top, sometimes here, sometimes there. So Vidyapit classroom, we'll keep it permanent for next 6 months, except in some few exceptional cases. That when you, then exams also, so exams will streamline more because we are missing so many exams in the morning several times. So 9:30 is like, it is possible to begin the exam. 9:30 to 10 we'll have exam at any cost. Every day, 10 to 1 class. Thank you. So 11th canto will not compromise on the classes, right? We'll not rush or anything like that. We'll do 11th canto very nicely, right? In a reasonable pace, not too slowly also. Then, combined study will help. In my experience in the last 3-4 batches is first 5-6 cantos people are together, they study well. 7th canto also they are like together and they study, they do combined studies. So 8th, 9th cantos they become very small chapters, right? 8th canto is small, within that 24 chapters are there, not much to discuss and all. So devotees get little separated, they do individually, and after, you know, 5-6 cantos of you know, study, they also get little exhausted. Then 10th canto, pastimes are easy, not many purports, right? From 7th or 8th canto till 10th canto, the combined study aspect comes little down, right? So 11th canto, you are forced to come together, otherwise you can't continue alone. So 11th canto, combined studies, 31 chapters. Out of 31, at least 29 are quite heavily philosophical. At least 27. Right? And 24 guru session section is little lighter.
and first chapter and last chapter describing the disappearance of Yadus, they are little lighter. Remaining are like very heavy, deep philosophies there. So if you don't keep track and if you don't, you are not conscious about the links between chapters, na, it's easy to get lost. 11th canto. I would say discussion and combined study will help a lot. If you are alone, then it's little difficult. 12th canto is easy again. Adilila is again very deep. First 7 chapters. Philosophical. 7. 10 to 17 of Adilila, they are simple. And Mahaprabhu's first 24 years life is very much summarized in 5 chapters only. Not many details. And tree of Chaitanya. Some 3-4 trees are there. They are also simple. Then Madhyalila is also pastimes, majority. 20 are majority of them are pastimes. At least 20 chapters. Last 5 chapters are very philosophical. There also combined studies is very important requirement. Then Antilila is very esoteric. Half of it is esoteric. And half of it is like pastimes and lessons, personal application. So many things will come there. 6 more months journey. Okay, all the best. Any things you can share with me, even personally also? Anything you want? Thank you.
Thank you, bro, for giving so much time for 10 canto. We took around 4 months.
That is because of so many events in the middle. Yatras.
So this is about their progeny.